With Denver. Good luck topping that.
Well, I think rather than trying to top it, I'll just change the subject. A little different. My background and experience is a little different. And I started as a travel agent. And so I was trying, I was one of those lucky kids whose parents owned a travel agency when I was growing up. So I learned all the wonderful things of travel and aviation, such as fam trips and going to Vegas and all this craziness. So when I decided that I had to find a job, it was easy. I was just going to be a travel agent. And then eventually, being, you know, my parents owned the place, maybe I could own it someday as well, and on we go. A couple of things about that story, though. While I was trying to get my feet wet and learning and networking with airlines and these kinds of things, something in Sioux City happened with United. And some of you may remember it, some of you don't, but it affected my life because a $1 million travel agency at the time was a very big, large hop-in travel agency. After that accident, we really didn't have any customers because we had a big downturn in aviation. So at that point, Plan B jumped in for me. So moving forward with that, I decided that through my networking with the airlines that I would just start asking for jobs. And so I was one of those that would walk up to an aviation counter such as Continental Airlines and say, hey, are you hiring today? And when they finally got tired of seeing me about every week, finally the manager handed me an application and said, hey, Brad, are you serious? I said, absolutely, I'm serious. I got offered a job by asking for the job at the counter. So how many of you can do that? Take it from me, it works. How many of you actually go out there and ask for the job? So there's lots of good people up here. We're all willing to help. You just have to ask for the help. And so when we offer the hand up to help, take it. Take it, because that's something that we're willing to help you with. So kind of moving along with that, I got hired with a small airline in Pueblo, Colorado. And if you're not familiar with Pueblo, it's about 2 hours south of Denver. And we don't get a lot of snow, or didn't get a lot of snow back then. But I worked for a company called Rocky Mountain Airways, who happened to be, it was kind of an interesting job. So I got hired as a station agent in Pueblo. We did everything. So I'd get in there about 5:30 in the morning, and I'd help the mechanics pull the actual seats out of the aircraft. We'd pull a pallet up, and we'd load it full of boxes, and we'd send it over the hill to Alamosa for the first trip of the day. It would come back from Alamosa about the 8 o'clock hour. We'd help the mechanics get the seats back in, and then we'd load it full of passengers. So you're turning your hat around a lot of different ways during that day, but it was kind of an interesting way that I learned. Not only was I a cargo agent, but then I got to do the check-in role for an airline. And then after doing the check-in, I would actually take their bags, put it on a bag cart, go around there and put it on the airplane. When I was tired of throwing bags, I would turn my hat around, and I would go to the front counter, and I'd check them in, I'd give them a seat assignment. And then when that was all said and done, we'd actually run them through a screening process. We'd run around the other side of the door and unlock it. We'd take their boarding pass and we'd put them on the airplane. So got to do a lot of different things right there in that one little station in Pueblo, and I enjoyed it a lot. The only problem, Rocky Mountain Airways was then bought by Continental Airlines, and we were Continental Express. And then you probably remember some of that, to where I went through bankruptcy with Continental. So let me just put it in perspective here. $11.11 an hour was pretty good money. The very next day, $4.77 an hour. So Plan B again, what do you do? Right. Luckily, I was single and a little crazy at the time, but Plan B really wasn't that big of a deal for me because I still had flight benefits and I still love my job. So the lesson here is when I went through the bankruptcy there, the very next day we all came back, some of us didn't have jobs. Because some of us, when they went to bankruptcy, said, heck with this, I'm out of here. And so they got real disgruntled, decided to walk off the job. You know, the supervisor remembered me because I actually dealt with the big long line of passengers, even though we didn't have any aircraft the next day. But I dealt with the big long line of passengers, and so when the jobs were available to come back, I was one of the first called back at $4.77 an hour, and happy to be there. So if you can do that, then I guess you're a survivor. So the rest of my story is really kind of the success story, and I'll tell you that I'm the luckiest guy in the world, and I absolutely love my job. And so when you talk about I'm nicely filtered, Denver International Airport, and I love being in a very large organization. So a small airport, being a manager of a small airport really is not for me. But just kind of, you've heard some of the other panelists, to where Some small airports, they get to do a lot of different things, like where I started in Pueblo. In Denver, I am very specialized, and so I learned about airport security issues, and I enjoy being specialized, because it gives me a chance to really to dive in and to jump into those small things. So that's what I do there. Kind of following along with the story, when Continental decided to pull out of Denver or reduce their presence in Denver, I was actually in a reservations office. So I jumped around from outstation to outstation, ended up in Denver as a reservations agent. And how do you put this in perspective? So think of a guy who's running in and out of the ramp and loading bags and dealing with customers now 8 hours a day with a headset and answering the phone, how can I help you? And so I made it about 18 months in reservations, and that was hard for me. And so it was a whole different world. Well, right about that time, Denver International Airport opened up, and I took the opportunity and applied, and I lucked out. So I went right from Continental Airlines to Denver International Airport. I actually got an increase in pay my first day at the airport. So was that a promotion? Absolutely for me. Was it scary? Heck yeah, because now I didn't have flight benefits, and I was actually going to have to pay for my vacations. What a drag, huh? So Denver International Airport started for me. I worked in communications to where I was in the center of everything, and then I just kind of moved my way up. One neat note about me, I'll tell you that I actually chose airport security, and it was for the Y2K bug. Anybody remember that? We changed over to Y2K or the year 2000. We were worried about the computer system sitting down. So if you think about it, we had about 1,900 doors that were on the access control system at Denver at the time, and we were worried about them going locked midnight in 2000. So it really was a non-event, but that's really where I got my start with security. So I love it. One thing kind of to tell you a little bit more and to kind of sum up why we're here today. Each of you in this room, if you love aviation as much as I do, you could probably put one thing to why you love aviation. What ignites your fire about aviation? Is it that you want to jump up and go for a flight with an inch of snow on the ground the very next day when the air is really stable? Or is it that you like to put out fires day in and day out? So think about what aviation means to you, because one of our questions in an interview is, what ignites your fire about aviation? Anybody had that one yet? So if you interview in Denver, you may get that. Wink, wink. A couple other things for aviation is, in my philosophy, once you get in, stay in. And to get in, you have to work hard to get in. So once you put in all that work, stay there. Stay there. So if you're a student getting ready to jump out into this wonderful world of aviation, try to find something so you can get in, whether it's throwing bags somewhere, whether it's you're working on a peak season, these types of things. See if you can't get in somewhere and use all of your contacts to help you get there. Another tip I'd like to give you is, don't talk us out of hiring you. Go into an interview process. Just know that even today, when you're shaking hands, it's an interview process. Don't talk us out of hiring you. I've heard all too many times throughout this week, and it's only Tuesday, that, well, I'm not ready for a job yet, but I'm graduating in the next year or so. Let's turn it around just a little bit. If you're looking for a job next year, why not start now? Did I tell you I was on the list for Denver International Airport for 18 months before they called me? Because I was. So make sure that you're starting early and you stay in there. The other thing is, don't price yourself out of this industry. So what I mean by that is, when we're students and we're going to college, a lot of us have to work. And we land good jobs sometimes in college. Just like you could land an aviation job in college, but we land good jobs. And then you get a degree and your company says, hey, you're now more marketable than me. Why don't you stay on? And they might give you a few extra dollars, these kinds of things. So now all of a sudden, they give you a promotion, and now you have to start at the bottom in aviation. What are you going to do? Then you have a decision there. So I've seen it a lot where they'll call me 2 or 3 years after graduation, and they'll say, hey, Brad, I really want to come work for you. What do you have open? And I say, well, I have an entry-level job that starts somewhere in the neighborhood of $14 or $15 an hour. And they say, can't do it. I'm making way more than that. There's no way I'm going to aviation. But the thing in aviation is, once you're in, stay in. And if you stay in, eventually it catches up with you. Or you never go to another industry, you just don't know what else is out there, right? So make all contacts count. I mean, we're here for you. When we're here and we're talking, I'll talk to you because I love to talk. But also, I want to help you. And I'll just throw it out there that I offer to help. I hand out business cards all the time. And a very small percentage call me. And I don't know why they don't call, whether it's they feel like they're bucking us or whether they feel like we can't help. But I have an awful lot of contacts that I can help get people in contact with if they will just call. And so I typically don't take time out of my day to go run through the stack of business cards and say, oh, this person is perfect for them, unless I'm really specifically targeting on that particular person. But if you'll call and stay in touch from time to time, then we can help get you in front of those opportunities. That's really where you want to be, I'm assuming. You're sitting in this seminar. So network, network, network. You've heard it all too often, right? What is networking? You know, I've heard people in the government industry or in the government position at Denver International Airport say, well, they hired him or they promoted him because he's a schmoozer. What's the difference between networking and schmoozing? Nothing, right? What you're after is a job offer. So shake the hands and ask for the job. My last thing that I want to pass on today is, once you've made the choice of what ignites your fire in aviation, once you get in, stay in, make sure that you're working to live. You're not living to work. Right? You're working to live, so you're here for a means, right? You have to have balance in your life, so keep that in mind as well. So while we spend an awful lot of time in our jobs, spend an awful lot of time working on yourself as well, whether that's self-improvement, whether that's being with your family, or just having fun out there. So work to live, don't live to work. So.
I think just listen to everyone. What a diverse panel. I guess the kind of the common thread there is being proactive. As Tom mentioned, making good decisions. Bob talked about seizing opportunities, and Gene spoke about being flexible. All of those things are very important. Before we open up for questions, Tico, did you want to say a few things?
All right. Thanks for having me. I may or may not use the mic because I'm used to speaking loud, but I'll use it anyway. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Tico Coleman. I started out a lot like each of you. I'm on AAA staff, but before I got on AAA staff, I was in AAA student chapter, just like a lot of you. Went to Embry-Riddle, Seth. I'll be down there to talk to those folks, don't worry. And I started out sort of trying to figure out if I want to start airlines or airports. And I said, I want to do both. So I said, which one do I do first? And I said, I think I'll do airport management first, because back then, airlines were going belly up, they were crashing. And I said, well, all right, I think I'll do this airport thing. And I interned in Daytona Beach, doing air service development, didn't know a thing about it, didn't know anything about airport marketing. And I said, well, how are we going to get these airlines back? And they were leaving like crazy. You know, thought NASCAR would help, but they were leaving for some reason because the market had changed. So I tried to decide what I wanted to do, and I talked to Dennis McGee, and I said, well, hey, you know, what do I need to do to get an airport management? And he said, well, Tico, you need an internship. You need to want to try to get at least about a year or so of internship experience, and you want to network. And so he told me, you should apply for this FAMA scholarship in Florida, which is a state scholarship. And I went to my first big conference in Orlando, Florida, happened to be there. And I started networking and started to talk to people. And I met a lot of great people throughout the state of Florida who I still talk to today. And they remember when I was at FAC or at FAMA. What I want to say is that you've taken such a huge step in developing your career. It's very easy to walk away. It's very, very easy to walk away. I had a family when I was in school. I was working at Greyhound for a little while. You know, I was working like three jobs at one point in time after I graduated. And I said, what did I do wrong? I mean, I had a great GPA. I interned. I did everything they told me to do. What I did wrong, I didn't start early enough. And so what I'm intending to tell you is that when Brad says, you know, I'm ready to work, but that is so prophetic. I will tell you this much now. When you're at this conference and you see somebody and they say, we're hiring, we need a job, you say, well, when do you need me? And you try to find a natural break to be able to do it, because they recognize what skill sets you need in order to graduate. If you say you only get one shot, that's your shot. Make it count, because it's so difficult to get in. Because when I finally finished graduating, finished interning, and I was ready to work, I was 1 month off from applying for the job at Tampa International Airport. The lady told me, she said, you know, oh, great, send in your application, Raymond Riddle. She said, when did you graduate? And I said, I'm graduating April 28th. She said, sorry, the position closed March 30th. You need your degree as of March 30th. You are not eligible. And I just was floored. And so that was sort of the start of my growth process of trying to figure out how do I get in this industry, and realizing then I was too late to start doing something about my future. All right? So my message to you is, you know, I've been fortunate to where I started out in Sanford, Florida, worked for 3 years, was fortunate enough after going to another networking conference doing the ASOS school, and met my boss now, Will James, working and running the ASOS schools and doing a lot of other things for AAA. And recently, through my experience of coming to these conferences, meeting all these great people, and being able to learn from their experiences to help shape, you know, myself as a professional to eventually help me on March 23rd when I earned my accreditation with my good friend Tracy Schatz over there. Because we were in the same review class taking the written exam 1 year ago this month. So I had to come, because when I saw this on the session, I said, you know, I need to say something to these folks. And I whispered in Gene's ears, I need to say something to you students. It can be done. You need to stay the course. You have to humble yourselves. If you want to be in airport management to make the big bucks, you have made the wrong choice. Because as Brad said, a lot of these folks said, it is bigger than how much you're making every day. It's about the balance. It's about being able to say, you know, I'm going to travel to L.A. and I need to stay overnight, but I got to reclaim my bags. But you know what? I know somebody in airport ops, and I don't have to claim 5 of my bags on the way to Hawaii. I can call airport ops, and they'll keep my bags for me in the ops center. You know, little stuff like that. This industry has so many little intangible perks, and it's not even funny. You can get so much free information from your peers about things that's helping you do your job. All you have to do is call them, reach out, meet them, and stay in touch with them. That's all you need to do. It's little things, a whole bunch of easy stuff. But you have to start early. Do not start after you've gotten your year of internship. Do not start after you felt like you got the best possible GPA. Because in the end, your college degree is simply an invitation to apply. That's all it is. It's an invitation to apply. It means nothing. You could have been 4-0. Yeah, maybe you get on the shorter list of a shorter stack. But in the end, you have to show up ready to go, showing that you're prepared, showing that you can make a difference at the airport. Because these folks, they don't have time to train a lot of times. They have to trust you. They are rolling the dice. I work with the airport training committee as well. They're full of HR people. And they are looking for qualified folks. And those of you in that committee meeting, you heard what they said. We want to be able to know. It helps them to know that a lot of people already have a lot of training they're looking for, because it saves them on their training dollars. So if you go to, you know, different programs throughout the industry and you help them to save money, you find out what's important to them, then that's going to help you get in that short stack. You want to get in the short stack. Because once you get in the short stack, you're going to get an interview. And once you get an interview, it's up to you to take all those experiences you've had and to share that with them, so you can be able to sell them, say, I want the job, this is why I need a job. And like Brad said, you need to ask for the job. You got to ask for it. Don't let them get back to you. Ask them, how do I get the job? Okay, now that it's done, now that I've answered all your questions, when can I start? When do you need me? You have to be assertive. Because they remember that. they interviewed a lot of people. So I just wanted to share that with you. Thanks for hearing me out. I'll be floating around. I'm done. But I'm pretty good on time sometimes, but I appreciate them letting me come in here. So thanks again, folks, and keep moving. Thanks, Nico. Got a few minutes here for questions.